Fourth and Inches podcast listeners. You got Dan, Kevin, Stevie P back at you today. What's going on, fellas?
What is going on, world? What's going on, boys?
What's up, everybody?
All right, so today we are going to get into a little preview of tomorrow's game between the Bucks and Panthers, and we are going to talk about some of our ranks, guys we're high on, guys we're low on. But first, don't forget to check us out on our website at www.4thandinchesff.com. It's www.4thandinchesff.com for a bunch of content. You got articles, blogs, player profiles, and you can subscribe to our VIP content. This will give you access to DFS info and will still give you access to the cheat codes that we will be keeping updated monthly. So check those out, and also look for us on the Fantasy Life app. We'll be doing start sit questions on there throughout the year. And if you're listening to the pod, make sure you hit that subscribe button and give us a 5-star rating. All right, so Dan is going to run you through the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, Kev. Yep, we got a lot to get into. So without further ado, let's bring you what is relevant in the fantasy world. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports Darius Geis is dealing with a meniscus injury. Sterling Shepard has been placed in the concussion protocol. Dontrell Hilliard, concussion, missed practice on Tuesday. By the way, everybody, this is just like I think we're doing 24, 48 hours. So, you know, the most relevant new information. NFL Network's Tom Pisillero reports Vikings cornerback Mackenzie Alexander, elbow, is expected to avoid being placed on injured reserve. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin said he was optimistic about Juju Smith-Schuster's toe availability for week two. NFL.com's Mike Gaffaro reports Eagles defensive tackle Malik Jackson is expected to miss the remainder of the season with a Lisfranc injury. Me and my buddies were talking about that yesterday. That sucks. Texans signed center Nick Martin to a 3-year, $33 million extension through 2022. Greg Olsen back said he plans to suit up for Thursday's game against the Bucks, but that short week is not ideal. Jets waived kicker Kerr Vedvik. First rounder Caleb McGarry has won the Falcons starting right tackle job. Jets acquired wide receiver Demaryius Thomas from the Patriots in exchange for a 2021 sixth-round pick. Cardinals placed right tackle Marcus Gilbert on injury reserve with a knee injury. Darren Waller played 55 of 55 snaps in the Raiders' Week 1 win over the Broncos. Antonio Brown has been accused of rape and sexual assault stemming from three different incidents in 2017 and 18. Kev got into that a little yesterday. We'll touch on that. We're not going to spend too much time on AB anymore. Will be there for all day, every day. ESPN's Josina Anderson reports there is a possibility Raiders safety Jonathan Abram shoulder goes into injured reserve. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports Tyreek Hill clavicle will be sidelined 4 to 6 weeks. Sucks for Hills owners. Quincy Enunwa will miss the remainder of the season with a neck injury. Broncos right tackle Juwan James knee is expected to miss several weeks. Speaking Wednesday, Coach Sean McDermott said Frank Gore remains the Bills' starting running back. AJ Green foot is out. Oh, hold on 1 second. There we go. AJ Green foot is out of his walking boot and ran on a treadmill Tuesday. Sterling Shepard concussion is not practicing Wednesday. Coach Zach Taylor said Joe Mixon ankle remains day-to-day. Bengals left tackle Cordy Glenn concussion remains in the league's concussion protocol. Redskins coach Jay Gruden said there is no update on Darius Geis' knee. Jordan Reed concussion remains in the league's concussion protocol. That dude never leaves the injury report. Chargers tight end Hunter Henry knee suffered a tibia plateau fracture to his left knee. We will talk about that, but seems like this is another ongoing topic with this guy. Kiki Kuti ankle returned to practice Wednesday. Good sign for Kiki. Chargers coach Anthony Lynn said the team is hopeful to get Hunter Henry knee back this season. Raiders place Safety Jonathan Abram's shoulder on injured reserve. Cowboys coach Jason Garrett said the team will be mindful of how little practice time Ezekiel Elliott had this summer. Tyler Lockett back, did not practice Wednesday. Juju Smith-Schuster toe was limited in Wednesday's practice. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports there is a real chance Antonio Brown with legal issues plays week two unless the NFL steps in. That's about it. And you have reports where today that he was on the field with the Patriots. I think I saw him with the number one. I'm not sure if that was just like a practice jersey. I don't know what number he's going to wear during the game, but definitely saw him out there running routes. And I mean, all I heard from that was that the Patriots said that they, you know, had a real concern about it and they're going to look into it. But I mean, if the league doesn't step in, I don't see why you don't put him out there.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, so the conclusion that I've come to in the NFL is that until we know for a fact that it's true, we don't know it for a fact it's true. So I'm not going to judge these guys on allegations. These guys make a lot of money. I'm not saying she's lying, not even by any stretch of the imagination. She could be telling the truth, you know, wholeheartedly. But these guys make a lot of money. You know, it is a way to get your name out there. That's not a way that I, you know, assume that most 99.9% of females would want to get their name out. But, you know, you don't know what people's motivations are. And to try to speculate what her motivation is by doing this or, you know, whatever is not what we do. I mean, we're a fantasy show. So basically, until I hear that Antonio Brown's not playing because he did something wrong, I'm just going to continue to act like he didn't do anything wrong.
Yep. Can't say it much better than that. I mean, I don't really want to touch on Antonio Brown. I did enough yesterday. I mean, he's not, you know, he's going to be where we're ranking him, where we would rank him regardless of this issue, until we find out that he's been suspended or, you know, the team releases him or whatever happens. You know, as long as he's on the field, you know, we're going to rank him as is.
Yes, sir. Anything else on the news you guys want to hit on? You know, AJ. Hunter Henry, his knee. You know, AJ Green I want to get to. So let's do Hunter Henry first. Hunter Henry, you know, you can see the talent on the field of this guy. You can clearly see it. The guy gets open. You know, he makes, you know, eye-popping catches. You know what I mean? He is a good football player. But he cannot stay healthy. You know, we were texting earlier between each other, you know, talking about him a little bit, and I called him Tyler Eifert 2.0 because that's what it feels like. You know, it feels like this guy has all the talent in the world, just like Tyler Eifert, and, you know, who God knows when we're going to see it because the dude just can't stay healthy. And, you know, they haven't placed him on injured reserve, but a broken kneecap sounds painful, and I don't know how you're playing through that. So regardless to whether they put him on injured reserve, you know, he's not going to be playing for a while. So, you know.
Yeah, the report says 4 to 6 weeks. So.
Yeah, so.
You know, it literally is. And this is what I was telling you guys before season. This is why I was not high on Henry as much as other people, because guys just been an injury risk his whole career. And, you know, guys who, you know, have this injury, like Steve said, Tyler Eifert. I mean, Tyler Eifert had all the talent in the world, but just couldn't stay on the field. And Hunter Henry's looking like he's going in that same direction. So, you know, if you have Hunter Henry, you know, hopefully you were able to pick up Hockenson or Darren Waller off the waiver wire to, you know, fill in for that injury. But yeah, tough luck for him.
Yep.
All right. And then AJ Green running on the treadmill. For me, AJ Green coming back is a big deal. Andy Dalton is a much better quarterback with AJ Green on the field. I think AJ opens it up for everyone in that offense, you know, including Joe Mixon. I'll tell you what, John Ross did a hell of a job this weekend. You know, I am high on John Ross rest of season. I know a lot of people probably are not, but what I saw from John Ross was him getting open on every route. It wasn't just 9 routes that he was getting open on. You know, he was getting open on slants. He was getting open on, you know, in cutting routes. He was just open all day long. And this, you know, Seahawks defense is not good. I've said that to you guys before the season started, that, you know, watching them on tape, you know, with the ones out there, they are not a good defense. And they proved it this weekend with John Ross. But if John Ross is going to be getting 11 targets, you know, every game until AJ comes back, I want him on my fantasy team. And AJ Green might not be long for the Cincinnati Bengals. So if you have a keeper league or a dynasty league, you know, if he's going to play like that with no AJ Green, you know, you want to make sure you get that guy on your team.
Yeah, and I said that yesterday. And, you know, John Ross, when A.J. Green was out last year, wasn't this good, but he did get in the end zone a couple times. You know, just when A.J. Green's there, it just demands – he just demands so many targets and so much production. And then you got Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. This was my thing with John Ross, and I do think he looked really good the other day. But my issue with picking him up was he becomes the fourth option in that offense if – you know, once AJ Green comes back. So,
but real quick, Kev, I want to ask you this question about him. Do you think that AJ Green could, you know, be a trade candidate? Because I think after what we saw from John Ross, I think the Cincinnati Bengals, if they lose two or three more games without AJ, you know, they do have a tough schedule in the start of the season. We talked about that. If, you know, AJ don't come back till week four, they lose the first three. You know, I mean, to me, I kind of feel like they might be thinking, you know, let's see if we can get a first round pick for AJ and move on and just, you know, cap this season as L and go into next season.
I actually thought about that earlier. I actually was thinking about that to myself earlier with AJ and what teams would he look good on. So, yeah, I definitely think that could be a possibility. And if it does, John Ross winds up being a great pickup.
Yeah, but, yeah,
to me, if AJ Green's there, you know, he's going to demand more of the targets and, you know.
I don't think this Bengals team is going to be as – I mean, all right, if they have A.J. Green out there, I don't think they're going to be as bad as, you know, projected coming in. They actually look like they have a nice little roster. I mean, we know the Seahawks defense is not what they were back with the Legion of Boom, but, you know, Cincinnati was competitive. Andy Dalton had a great game without A.J. I think it would be smart of them if they do drop – three in a row or four in a row, like Steve said, to sell high on AJ because he still is going to demand a first round pick from a lot of teams that are in, you know, playoff contention or we're looking for that next that one piece that they need to take him to the next level. Maybe like a Baltimore Ravens team that's, you know, super run heavy.
They wouldn't trade him in division.
I mean,
if they're dangling a first round pick in front of them, but no, I don't think they would want to. I mean, that's, you know, Pittsburgh didn't want to trade Antonio to the Pats, but they ended up with him anyway. But you know, as far as AJ Green goes, it's great news for AJ Green owners. I own him in our main league, guys. But so, you know, any news that comes to him that he's progressing, I'm very happy with.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's what we wanted to really touch on from the news. Let's get into our preview of tomorrow night's Bucks and Panthers game. So, Steve, you want to start us off?
Yeah, Bucks-Panthers, to me, I have Cam Newton ranked pretty high this week. We will go over that when we do the ranks. But to me, this is game, you know, I talk about this all the time when we talk about Thursday night games. Thursday night games is not really game plan, you know, that is put into these games. Normally, they just use the same, you know, whatever team NFL team does when they start, you know, prepping for game plan. They put in, like, basically, it's like 15 to 20 plays that they run, you know, in the beginning of the game. You know what I mean? So they run those plays no matter what. You know what I mean? That's kind of the way they do it. And, you know, they have those scripted plays. Those scripted plays that you saw last week from the Bucks are going to be the scripted plays you see this week from the Bucks. Same thing with the Panthers. So in the beginning of the Panthers game, you know, they were getting the ball out of Cam's hands real quick. You know, dumping it off to Christian McCaffrey. They were using McCaffrey early and often. You know, they were using the in-cutting routes for, you know, both receivers early and often. I think they're going to try to do the same thing this week. The Bucks corner showed last week that they can't stop, you know, a nosebleed. It was more drop balls for if you watch that game, Jimmy Garoppolo had a bunch of receivers drop balls. It wasn't that he was not accurate. It's that guys were just dropping everything. Plus, they had crazy penalties and, you know, just a whole randomness of things. So, you know, I don't think this Bucks defense is, you know, any good. And I think Cam is going to take full advantage of that. I think this could be one of those games that is not a very exciting Thursday night game. I would say, you know, I would be surprised if it was like more than like 21-24. I do think it's going to be a closer game because I think Bruce Arians is going to get into, you know, their asses and say, hey, listen, like, we need to put a better product out on this field. So I think they are going to be way more high tempo trying to get the ball out of Jameis Winston's hand, because you saw every time he dropped back, it was just murder. He was getting – it was bad. He was getting crushed every time he dropped back. So, you know, I think they're going to realize they need to get the ball out quicker, and they're going to do that. So I do think this is going to be a game where, you know, the both quarterbacks could put up some points. You know, so the wide receivers could all put up points because it's just crazy. But, you know, not Christian McCaffrey is an animal. You know what Christian McCaffrey is going to do. And, you know, we saw a little bit of sign of life from the, you know, Bucks running game. So, you know, we're going to have to see what goes on here. I know a lot of people have the Panthers defense like really crazy high because of what they saw last week. I think Jameis, you know, Jameis has those games like all the time. He throws in one of those stinker games, and the very next week he throws for 350 and two touchdowns and no picks. So, you know, don't count on, you know, four turnovers from Jameis Winston next week, because that's probably not this Thursday, because it's probably not going to happen. So, you know, I am not super high on the Panthers defense. They didn't show me anything last week that makes me think that they're going to do a whole lot of anything. So,
yeah, well, I actually am a little higher on the Panthers defense. I think that looking at this Buccaneers offensive line, they're going to block a soul in that San Francisco game. So I do think there's opportunity for sacks. Jameis Winston, he did not look good either. And, you know, if he does not improve, there's going to be opportunities for turnovers. You know, you saw San Fran last year had two interceptions all season. They had three in their first game. So, you know, to me, you know, I got to see it from Jameis. I was really high on him coming into the year, but that really, he really let me down in that game. And I know you're higher on the 49ers defense, Steve, so maybe it was just a defensive thing, but, you know, Jameis looked terrible, man.
Yeah, I agree. He did.
I got Cam as my sixth of this week, and I actually probably, he would, if he didn't look really bad last week, I probably would have him in my top five, because I think he's going to have a really good bounce back game at home. You really couldn't ask for a better position to be in after he didn't look good at all. He gets to go up against a Tampa Bay team that is just awful. I mean, a defense that is just awful. So I actually think this game's going to be a little more high scoring than you, Steve. I don't think it's going, you know, 30s, but I could see 31 to 23, you know, slightly putting it above the over, like 49.5 or wherever that's sitting at now. But, you know, there's a lot of big spreads out there. This be one of the games that I like, and maybe my survivor. But as far, you know, you guys touched on McCaffrey, he's going to have a field day. I think actually Winston's going to have a better game for sure. I don't foresee all those interceptions. You know, I think the receivers on Tampa Bay look pretty good, because I do think that you're going to see some throwing. So you're going to have, I think Mike Evans has a bounce back game. He did not have a very good game last game. Chris Godwin, I think, you know, average game again, above average, maybe gets in the end zone again. And, you know, the whole Ronald Jones thing, you know, we talked about how bad he has, you know, we beat him down pretty good in our analysis, and he didn't have a great game, but, you know, 75 yards on a handful of carries. For me, I mean, I don't know if that's going to be replicated again. I mean, it looks like he's going to get a bulk of the load. So, you know, we'll see what happens with him. And if he starts climbing the ranks as far as, you know, being a running back to pick up.
Yeah, in my opinion, he was definitely a running back to pick up. I do think this week is going to be a little tougher. You got it. You know, those yards that he got, a lot of them came after Quan Alexander got tossed from the game. Quan Alexander is a former Buccaneer, you know, kind of went in on Jameis Winston with a headshot, and, you know, they expelled him from the game. So Quan Alexander is a very good inside linebacker. If you remember a few years ago, he led the league in tackles. You know, and him not being there definitely helped the running game for the Bucs for sure. But, you know, I definitely think he looked better than Peyton Barber. Peyton Barber was very unimpressive. So, I definitely thought Ronald Jones was an ad. As far as Cam goes, I have him number 11. I was not high on Cam coming in, especially because of the shoulder. Then he gets the ankle injury. I got him number 11. The Bucks defense is not very good. They looked better. They looked a little bit better the other day, but I think I just am not high on Jimmy G. I don't think Jimmy G is very good either. I can see Cam still finishing as a number one quarterback, low end number one, but I definitely like some better options in there. And, McCaffrey's going to be McCaffrey. The wide receivers, I am higher on DJ Moore after what we saw the other day. Curtis Samuel was not very involved in the passing attack the other day. Greg Olsen has a back injury, so that's something to pay attention to if you are starting Greg Olsen or, using him at all. And from the Bucs side, I'm very low on Jameis. Until I see it, I have Jameis at 22. Mike Evans is, I think my number four receiver. So I do expect him to get off and have a good game. But, I'm lower on O.J. Howard. I'm lower on Chris Godwin. To me, I just think Mike Evans is due for a bounce back. Last week, he had a stomach flu, which a lot of the team had maybe like three days before the game, and it really showed. So hopefully they can bounce back as a team. But, yeah, that's pretty much my breakdown.
All right, let's get into our ranks.
All right, so Dan, I'm going to start off with you. Give me your high quarterback, quarterback you're high on, quarterback you're low on.
All right, quarterback I'm high on, much higher than you guys, is Drew Brees. And quarterback I'm low on is Kyler Murray. I think all three of us are pretty high on Kyler for this week. He's going up against a tough Baltimore defense. But Drew Brees, I'm definitely higher on than you guys. And it's not so much based on how good he looked last week. It's just, this team, the last couple times they played, it was 35-45 Saints. They had a shootout. It seems like these powerful offenses just go toe-to-toe. They really, they have two of the best running backs in the league, but they also, those running backs are two of the best, catching backs too. So, Brees last year when they played, he had 346 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be the same case, but, this time it is in L.A. instead of New Orleans. But I do think that he has a big game again. I think these, if it was another 38-31 game or 34 game, I wouldn't be surprised. And with those kind of points, Drew Brees normally puts up a handful of yards and touchdowns.
Yeah.
All right. You want to get into Kyler?
Yeah, I can talk about Kyler too. So this way we can both knock him out. It's going to be a tough test for the kid. He struggled mightily in the first three quarters last week, and this Baltimore team, I know it was the Dolphins, they stifled them, but they just, Baltimore just looked so good in every aspect of football. And I think it's going to make it a long day for him. He's my starter in our league, and I'm probably going to put someone else in. I'm 50-50 about it, cause I really want to stick with him, and he's got the run capability, which I love, but it's a tough week for him. And I don't think, there's just a lot of better options out there at quarterback right now. And I'm not saying, week three that you should, I'm not saying abandon Kyler altogether, moving forward. Cause I think, he could definitely matchup depending, be right back in our top 10 or top 12 moving forward. But I think in this one, up against Baltimore, with not really much chemistry last week, aside from the fourth quarter, it's going to be, it could be a rough week for the kid, but I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, I hope he proves me wrong, because, like I said, he's my quarterback, and I want to see him succeed. I'm very high on Kyler.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just a tough test. I think the Ravens defense is very good. And, Jimmy Smith being out of this game could help him a little bit, but I still think this Ravens defense is very good. For me, Kyler, I completely understand where you have him low. I have him at 17, so I agree with that. And basically Drew Brees is, I have him in my top 12. I'm going to have him probably close to around my top 12 every single week. You know, he's Drew Brees. So, you know, the reason I have him a little bit lower this week is going to the Rams. We know Drew Brees has a history of struggling on away games. And I think Alvin Kamara is going to have a good game. So I think they're going to rely a little bit more on Alvin Kamara, you know, in the running game. And I think I also have Latavius Murray in my top 40 also, because I think he, you know, will get some work in this game. So, you know, I agree with you. I think he's definitely, you know, a number one quarterback because of what he showed last week he can do. But I'm a little nervous about the away splits.
All right. So you want to get into your who guys, Steve? You got Jimmy G as your high guy and Baker Mayfield as your low guy.
Yeah. So let's talk about Baker first. I have Baker low because until I see this offense do something last week, you know, don't get me wrong. I think the Tennessee Titans defense showed last week that they are a very good defense. They're not a defense to be played around with. So I'm not going to sit here and say that the Browns looked bad against a bad team, because I can't say that. That defense looked stifling last week, and, you know, they played lights out. And unfortunately, that's what the Browns are going to get, because the Browns were, you know, talking all that trash in the beginning of, you know, of the offseason when they got Odell, and, you know, they saw how good Chubb played and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? When you lose a Kevin Zeitler and, you know, your offensive line is not as good as it was last year, you know, your offensive line in this league, if you have a bad offensive line, you're in trouble. So until this offense shows me that they can do something, you know, I have other guys ranked way ahead of Baker this you know, this week and in the next couple of weeks, until I see that they can show me that they can put up some points, because they didn't really do anything in this game. You know what I mean? Baker didn't do anything in this game that made me go, oh man, Baker's so good. Like, I don't remember one play where I said Baker Mayfield is just awesome. You know what I mean? He looked like a guy who was, especially in that fourth quarter, he looked completely lost. Like, he didn't even see corners standing there when he was throwing those interceptions. It was bad. So, you know, I am low on Baker. On Jimmy Garoppolo, for me, like I said, I think Jimmy Garoppolo was a product of a lot of drop passes, a lot of, you know, holding calls and, you know, calls that basically wiped away big plays. You know, it was like touchdown after touchdown getting called back in that game on both sides. But Jimmy threw three touchdowns in that game that were called back. Two of them to George Kittle. So, you know, I think if those, you know, are not holding, those holding calls get cleaned up a little bit, and, you know, guys start catching the ball when, you know, it hits them right in the hands, I think Jimmy is going to be very good. And, you know, going up against the Bengals defense that I've been saying is not very good and didn't show me anything, you know, to show me that they were good last week, I think Jimmy's going to eat this week. So I have him as my number 11 quarterback.
Yeah, I tried to warn you guys about Baker, not saying that he can't be good. You know, I just think that this team needs to kind of learn their lesson and, you know, be humbled. They needed this ass whooping a little bit to be kind of humble themselves and, you know, bring them back down to earth, because everybody was penciling them in as a guaranteed playoff team and, you know, a potential Super Bowl contender, and they went in there and got waxed. So, you know, definitely, to me, you got to see it from Baker Mayfield before you're trying them out there. Jimmy G is another one. I was not impressed with Jimmy G. I understand his receiving core was, you know, not very good, but it's the same receiving core that'll be out there, you know, the next week. And, you know, he didn't really spread the wealth around, or he spread the wealth around, but very minimally. This team also ran the ball a ton. I think they had three more runs than they did passes in the game. So, you know, they are a team that's still going to run the ball. I think that Raheem Mostert looked like the best back on the team, so I don't think they're going to shy away from the run with Tevin Coleman out. So that's my issue with Jimmy. I just, you know, Bengals defense is not good, so he could definitely get off. But I have him just at number 15, just outside my QB1. The two guys I'm going to talk about that I am high on is Big Ben. I have Big Ben number 5 overall. The reason I have Big Ben number 5 overall is because that Seahawks defense could not stop anybody in the passing game. Andy Dalton just threw for over 400 yards against them. John Ross, who is a guy that, is basically a legendary bust at this point. He looked like a first round pick against this defense. So, that and the fact that Big Ben is a veteran quarterback that I'm sure had his pride a little bit hurt in that game the other day because they just got waxed. To me, I thought the Patriots knew exactly what Pittsburgh was doing on every play. So to me, I think, Ben Roethlisberger is going to come out, against a defense that's not nearly as good in their secondary, and he's going to he's definitely going to throw the ball a lot better. And for my low guy is Aaron Rodgers. This is particularly based on matchup. Usually the Vikings game is a very, very close game, usually a low-scoring game. It's been, I think one game last year was even, somewhere around like 10-9 or 12-9 or something like that. That's pretty much it with Aaron Rodgers, just a matchup. This is a division game. It's a tough game. He did not. Really didn't get off in week 1 against the Bears. And to me, the Vikings defense, they look like they are hungry. This Vikings team looks hungry. They kind of got back to that Mike Zimmer football of ground and pound and play really tough defense. And I think you're going to see more of that in this game. I do think Kirk Cousins is going to have to throw more than 10 passes. But, I do think A-Rodge could have a little bit of a stumble once again against, a Vikings defense that to me looks really good.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kev, on Rodgers. I'm a little higher on him than you. You got him at 18. I have him at 14, but definitely going to be a ball possession type game like the Bears and Green Bay was in week 1. You're going to see a better game out of Aaron Jones because he's going up against a really good defense, but he's not going up against that Bears front, which is just ridiculous. But you'll see a better Aaron Jones performance. You'll see, a good amount of running from Minnesota. With both guys. And I just think that, I think it's going to be a low scoring, maybe 20-17 game. Although I think that, Rodgers always has that potential to put up a huge game. I don't think he's going to do it against the Vikings day. And you were high on Big Ben. I still have him in my top 10. He's definitely should have a bounce back game. Like you said, he's a veteran who will make the right adjustments. And just like how, I like Cam Newton because he's going, he had a super rough game last week going up against a really bad Buccaneers secondary. You got Big Ben who had a really rough game going up against a bad Seahawks secondary, and Pittsburgh is home. So definitely in line for a bounce back game for Big Ben.
Yeah, Big Ben has been the same way as Drew Brees. He has home road splits, and in his home games, he's fantastic. In his road games, he's terrible. And he just had I wouldn't say terrible, but he's pretty bad. And he went to the Patriots and got his, he got his ass romped. It is what it is. He's going to be home in this game. The Seahawks defense is not the Patriots defense. It is not a good defense, and I completely agree. I have Roethlisberger at 6 this week. And then on your low guy, I definitely agree. I think A-Rod is going to have a tough time trying to figure out this Vikings defense. Matt Ryan had a terrible time trying to figure out this defense. It was really only the garbage time that helped him, and they had basically let their foot off the gas, knowing that they were smashing the Falcons, and, they weren't pitching a shutout, so why go all out? Just let the, just let them do what they do. So, I could definitely see Aaron Rodgers struggling in this game. He struggled last week against the Vikings. Against the Bears. So we already have seen that. And I think it's going to be, Bears part 2, because I think this Vikings defense is very good.
Yep. Steve, why don't you get in your running backs, Fournette and Sony?
All right. So for me, Leonard Fournette is my high guy this week.
You're high on both of them. We're running backs, we got two high guys, and we're going to talk about some lower guys that we're just, kind of low on.
Exactly. So Leonard Fournette for me this week, if you just look at the history of Leonard Fournette versus the Texans, he always kills the Texans. Like, I don't know what it is about the Texans and Leonard Fournette, but he always has pretty good games against the Texans. He's just, you know, and they leaned on him against this Chiefs team. They started getting blown out, and it was, you know, it was bad. This is a rivalry game against the Texans, so I do not think that they are going to get blown out the way they did against the Chiefs. They kind of know the way the Texans like to run their offense. So I definitely think that it's going to be a closer game than, you know, people are thinking. And if it's a close game, Leonard Fournette has shown, you know, the ability to get 25 touches in a game. So for a guy playing, you know, in a game with a team that he's familiar with, you know, I could definitely see Leonard Fournette getting 25 touches. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got in the box, you know, got a touchdown or even two in this game. You know, I think he is going to be heavily used in this offense. And then Sony Michel, you know, going up against the Dolphins. The Dolphins, you know, you watched it last week. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. They are going to be up for this game. You know, they're going to want to, you know, show their rivals that they are, you know, better than what they put on tape last week. And, you know, I do think they're better than what they put on tape last week. I think they just got into a buzzsaw. I think the Ravens took full advantage of a team that was reeling over the Laremy Tunsil trade. And, you know, guys had already said that they, you know, people were saying that they wanted to be traded out of the Dolphins organization. You know, that's all going to calm down eventually. You know, I don't know if it's going to be this week, but I definitely think, you know, going up against the Patriots, you don't want to look bad going up against the Patriots. You know, it's a nationally televised game. You know, you don't want to be put on tape like that. So, you know, I do think guys are going to get up a little bit more for this game. But with that said, Sony Michel, you know, is going to see a lot of work in this game. The Dolphins didn't look like they could stop anybody in the running game last week, and I think Bill Belichick saw that, and he is going to make sure that Sony gets his assorted amount of touches. Now, the one thing that does worry me a little bit about Sony, which is why I have him at 20, because I would have him higher, you know, with the matchup, is that I think that they gave him the ball a lot in the beginning of the game, and then they started slowing down a lot after that, you know, and I don't know if that was because of effectiveness or if they were just like, all right, let's start limiting his work, kind of like a Todd Gurley situation with the knee. You know, they do want this guy for the playoffs, so, you know, it could be something that could be something to put in the back of your heads. But if Sony doesn't go off in this game, then you definitely have to put that in the forefront of your brain.
Yeah. I am lower on Sony Michel. I think I have Sony in the low 20s than you. But if they use him, see, to me, Rex Burkhead looked really good when he got opportunities in this game. And I do think that they're going to continue to use Rex as long as he's running that way. So that's just, to me, going to cut into Sony's work. And Fournette, yeah, I could see Fournette. I have Fournette at number 11. So I have him, you know, a few spots behind both of you. But, you know, Fournette to me is an RB1. He's RB1 caliber, and they're going to have to use him with Gardner Minshew. I mean, you know, it was all well and good what he did in week one, 22 to 25, you know, broke the record for completion percentage in his first game. But, you know, all in all, you get a week to prepare for this guy, and you know, the real NFL is going to catch up to you. So they're going to have to rely on Fournette a lot in this game to keep up. And obviously you saw, you know, you know, Kamara had a really good game against the Texans, so I could see that happening as well. The two guys I'm going to get into are Damian Williams and Josh Jacobs. Damian Williams, I have at 13. You know, both of you guys are outside the top 20 on him. Mainly, I have him here because I think with the Tyreek Hill injury, they're going to use him heavily in the passing game. I do think Shady's going to get a lot of running work, but if you look at the snaps, you know, Damian Williams clearly outsnapped him. Obviously, he didn't look as good on the ground. He only averaged like 2 yards per carry, whereas Shady averaged like 8 yards per carry. But like I said, I just think that they're going to use Damian Williams a lot in the passing game to, you know, fill in kind of for Tyreek Hill, because Mecole Hardman was on the field for 77 snaps and he only got one target and was pretty ineffective. So I could still see Damian Williams being heavily used utilized in this offense. And, you know, it wasn't that he had a bad fantasy day. He still got you into the end zone. And, you know, I think he had 6 or 7 catches in the game or something like that as well. So to me, you know, Damian Williams is still going to be a guy that's going to finish as a high end RB2. And my other guy was Josh Jacobs. Man, if you watched that Monday night game, they were using the hell out of Josh Jacobs. He didn't necessarily, you know, break any long runs or, you know, do anything that was, you know, I would say spectacular. But the fact that he's getting that much work and they're going up against the Chiefs, I don't think we're going to see Jalen Richard. You know, I think that they're going to, you know, kind of just ride Josh Jacobs as their go-to guy. And, you know, the way you saw him in week one is a lot like you saw Cadillac Williams and John Gruden's, you know, first year. So, you know, I could see him getting off against the Chiefs defense that to me is just not very good.
Yeah, I agree. I, you know, Damian Williams, from watching the game, I didn't do the breakdowns with you guys, but it was clear and evident to me that the better running back is Shady McCoy. You know what I mean? He is better than Damian Williams. Damian Williams is not a bad running back. He's a very good one. So, you know, I still think it's going to be a 60-40 split Damian Williams way, but it would not surprise me if, you know, in the next couple of weeks you start seeing that completely flip. You see, you know, Shady getting 60% of the work and Damian getting 40% of the work, and that's just the way it's going to be. Damian Williams is a, you know, at this point in his career, I think he's a better pass catcher out of the backfield than Shady is. I think Shady is very proficient in that aspect of his game also, but, you know, Damian just has a little bit more speed and able to get a little bit more quickness to get out of the backfield. But, you know, when you're talking about pure running ability, Shady is, it's not close. He's just much better running the football. You see, his vision is better. You know, Damian has more moves at this point. It looks, you know, if you watch Damian in the open field, he makes guys miss. I mean, and Shady still has those moves. He's just not as quick anymore. But he definitely sees holes much better than Damian does, and he hits those holes much quicker, which gets him, you know, the yardage that you saw. You know what I mean? You saw that you're not going to see 8-man boxes with this team, which is why we were so high on Damian Williams in the beginning. So, you know, if you're not going to see 8-man boxes ever because, you know, your quarterback is just that dangerous, then, you know, the running game is going to be proficient, and which is why you want the running game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I would play both of these guys every week because I think both of these guys could be relevant for fantasy every week. And then your other guy, Jacobs, the dude, we've been saying this since the preseason. You know, with Cadillac, the way Cadillac Williams got used, we believed it was going to be a similar workload. I honestly think it's going to be a bigger workload. He is a better catcher out of the backfield than you know, Cadillac ever was. I loved Cadillac Williams, one of my favorite running backs coming out of college. I liked watching him play football, but he is not the pass catcher that, you know, Josh Jacobs is. So I could definitely see him having a big role in the pass catching game along with, you know, Jalen Richard didn't touch the ball and he's their pass catcher last year. So, you know, I just think Josh Jacobs is an all around really, really good football player who's going to see a whole lot of touches.
Yep. So, Dan, why don't you get into your two guys, Todd Gurley and David Montgomery?
Yeah, Todd Gurley and Montgomery, both I am in similar mindset with, that they were both very underutilized in their week ones. You know, we talked about Gurley a little bit yesterday, last night, and, you know, we did our recap. And I just don't see how you tell a guy that he's not on a snap count. I mean, I understand if you put him on the snap count and then, you know, you see the amount of work that Brown got, then that's understandable. But, you know, I mean, you're sitting there talking him up, saying that he looks great. He's running 22, 23 miles an hour, faster than ever. No snap count, no injury. Looks like he has no injuries. And when he was in there, he looked like Gurley-like. I mean, the only reason he didn't get in the end zone was because, you know, as Kev called Brown the vulture, you know, was in there and took his, you know, his fantasy touchdowns away. So I think, you know, I'm not going to speculate, but I wouldn't be surprised if something was said behind closed doors where he says, you know, you got to feed me, you got to let me be me. You know, otherwise, you know, why talk about him being perfectly fine and, you know, being your guy if you're going to split up his carry. So for me, I think that this game is going to be, and I, you know, for the same thing that I talked about with Breeze, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. High scoring normally means Todd Gurley has a big day. So for me, Gurley is definitely going to be someone to look for. And, you know, just, it doesn't matter who he plays. I mean, matchups are matchups and they're very important, but Todd Gurley can go off against anybody at any time. The other guy is Montgomery, and is, you know, kind of like the same thing, you know, with the Gurley situation. They, you know, all we heard of in preseason was how good Montgomery was looking. I mean, he didn't play much in preseason, but the little bit he did play, he looked fantastic. We heard, you know, in training camp that he was just something special and different. You know, Steve predicted he would have a big game, his first game, because they were going to use the new kid and show off the new toy. And they did the opposite. You know, they just, I mean, for me, Matt Nagy is a brilliant coach, incredible play caller, showed it last year. And he just coached a horrible game last Thursday night against Green Bay, made that Green Bay defense look spectacular. And I think they're a good defense, but I don't think they're anywhere close to as good as they look. So, if they don't want to have the same result, then they need to use the kid. You know, he clearly, you know, in the plays that he was in there, he looked way faster, way better cuts, stronger, just all around way better than Mike Davis did. I mean, not taking anything away from Mike Davis. He did, you know, he held his own in there for the time he was. But, you know, I mean, you can't draft this kid, call him your number one, and just let him sit there on the sideline next to coach the whole entire game while you're, you know, basically playing a guy who you brought in to be a second, third stringer. So that's where I'm at.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we have David Montgomery, me and Steve, a lot lower. Steve, you have him at 38. I have him at 40. You know, I just can't trust Matt Nagy until I see it. I would love for them to give David Montgomery the ball. He clearly looked like the best running back on, you know, runner with the football. But yeah, me and Steve and I obviously, you know, disagree based on our rankings. But I like I said, I do hope you're right, because to me, this kid looked hungry. He looked like he wanted to touch the ball more, and he was running hard and got good gains and good yards. And to me, that was when their offense was most effective, when he was on the field. So, you know, I do hope that they do, you know, do change that up a little bit and start to use him more. And as far as Gurley, I totally agree. I just think that, you know, they're going to go back to Gurley. This was kind of a one-week thing. If you listen to what McVay said, he kind of just said, like, at this point, you know, we were just already talking about thinking about taking Todd Gurley out of the game. And, you know, it just so happened to be that Malcolm got the touchdowns. And I kind of agree. You know, if this week comes up and the red zone happens and Gurley's not in there, then it becomes a problem. But I do definitely think Todd Gurley is going to, you know, definitely think there was probably a behind the closed doors meeting and where Gurley said, yo, you know, I'm still the guy here and I want the ball in the red zone. And, you know, he didn't look bad. He had a good game. You know, he still got over 90 yards on the ground. So, you know, I agree with you. I think they're going to go back to Gurley. You know, I just think it was, you know, coincidental.
Yep. I think they tried to put him on a pitch count, and, you know, the pitch count called for him to come out there. And yep. Todd Gurley didn't like it, and he clearly showed it on his face after the post-game interviews, and he clearly showed it to everyone who asked, and he was not happy about it. So how do you keep a guy happy? You give him the work he wants, especially when he's your, you know, $50 million running back.
All right. So you guys want to get into any players that we are lower on? I'll get into one. My guy that was, you know, he's kind of being drafted around the sixth or seventh round. And after week one, you know, where was he? And that's Rashad Penny. Chris Carson got so much of the work there. It was ridiculous. You know, Rashad Penny barely was on the field and barely got any kind of work compared to Chris Carson. So to me, Rashad Penny is a guy that I am really low on. And, you know, if you drafted him, I think you got to hope that Chris Carson gets an injury for him to have a, you know, be more successful.
Yeah, to me, he's definitely, you know, this game showed that he is the handcuff.
He's a handcuff. He is not a guy that's going to get, you know, Mike Davis work from last year. He's a handcuff.
Yeah. So, you know, he could be more relevant in games that, you know, are, you know, blowouts, but that's not really the Seahawks' MO. They don't really blow teams out. They normally win games with the running game and scoring enough points to win. You know, that's the way they kind of play. So, you know, maybe later on in the season we start seeing an emergence of Rashad Penny just because they want to take some touches away from Carson because they know they need him for the playoffs. But other than that, you know, Rashad Penny makes me super nervous at this point. I would like to see the kid do good because he was a first-round pick, and you don't want your team's first-round pick to be in Busville. But at this point, that's where his bus is heading. It's heading to Busville. He, you know, last year he had, I think it was like one or two games where he showed something, and then in other games he just didn't do anything. So, you know, I definitely think he has the ability, watching him in college, I definitely think he has the ability to be a good NFL running back, but he's not better than Rashad. I mean, he's not better than Chris Carson, and I said that last year, and I beat the drum. I think me and Kev were one of the only fantasy analysts that I can even remember that were just beating the drum for Chris Carson over and over, and we were right. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I will pat us on the back for, Kev. We were 100% right about that.
Yeah, we were both high on Carson last year.
My guy is okay, so it's kind of hard to say because we basically have the same ranks. We were looking at our ranks earlier trying to figure out guys, but I am going to go with Mike Davis. I mean, I have Mike Davis ranked at 36. I know some people might have him a little bit higher because of the amount of time he was in the game last week. You know, I've seen some ranks where he's like 28. You know, he's basically, you know, a flex option for people. You know, I put him in 36 because the guys I have below him is, you know, Miles Sanders and David Montgomery and Latavius Murray and, you know, guys like that just that are not getting workloads. And Mike Davis clearly was getting work. But I just don't think he's better than Montgomery. And they're going up against the Broncos at home. You know, just not a matchup that I really want to mess with. You know, the Broncos defense last week, you know, they were on the road. They still played well. You know what I mean? The Raiders just made more plays. You know what I mean? They played well as a defense. You know, I think, honestly, if you know, Josh Jacobs had those amount of touches against the Chiefs defense, you know what I mean? He'd have had 150 yards and three touchdowns. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, just Mike Davis makes me nervous this week. If I have any better option, I am going to start that better option. You know, I know he's the quote unquote number one for the Bears, but you know, I'm going to stay away from that one.
Yeah. I'm going to give a guy that was just being drafted stupid high. And we talked about him a lot and why he was going so high. And, you know, it's kind of like a part two to the last, you know, to the guy I'm high on, which was Gurley. And, you know, people were taking Henderson as, you know, we did a ton of mock drafts, you know, all of us together, and I did a ton on my own. And this dude was going as I've seen him go in the seventh round, eighth round. And I hate to say we told you so, but we definitely told you so, because you could pretty much just drop him. He had one carry in that last game. And, you know, he's inside
the 5 yard line, dog.
What's that?
I said it was a carry inside the five.
Yeah,
it was a meaningful carry.
I mean, yeah, we talked about it a lot because we could not believe why they just made such a big deal out of Gurley's injury, and you know, where his injury, whatever, you know, his setbacks were in preseason, and people just said this is the Rams, this is the Super Bowl Rams team, they're going to be a great offense, and this kid is going to get a ton of work because Gurley's not going to be Gurley, and I just looked and he's 50% owned in ESPN now. I mean, and that is dropping drastically. So if you have Henderson, don't waste a roster spot, because it looked like, you know, Brown was getting the work anyway, the backup work anyway. So, you know, like I just want to, hopefully you listen to us. If you listen to the podcast, hopefully he's not on your team, because we told you not to pick him up, especially where he was being drafted at. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We've been saying that one for a while though.
including my best ball leagues, I'm in 32 fantasy leagues. I have Henderson in one league. And it's because what I did, guys, was I picked enough leagues to where I could pick every player in the NFL almost. Every relevant fantasy football player I basically have on every one of my rosters. And I have him on one, guys. One of 32 teams. Like, that just shows you how much we were telling you, like, just stay away. Just stay away. He was going way too high. And it's nothing, it has nothing to do, it doesn't say anything about his talent, because I don't think he's an untalented player. I think, you know, if he was on another offense with another set of running backs, you know, he could be used. But on this offense with that player, you know what I mean? You do not get play over Todd Gurley when you're a rookie, you know. And Malcolm, they re-signed Malcolm. Like, it's not like they, you know, it's not like Malcolm was on a 3-year deal and he stayed there. Like, they've made it a point to go get this dude. You know what I mean? I think they took Henderson because they thought, you know, hey, this guy could do some dynamic stuff in the passing game. And in the preseason, he showed none of that at all. So, you know, at this point, you got to know when to cut your ties. You know, if you want to hold on to him for another couple of weeks, I'm not going to tell you to cut him right this second. If you want to hold on to him just to see if Gurley, you know, goes down or something happens that they start using him a little bit more, you know, you wasted a 7th-round pick on him. Because to get him, you had to pick him in the 7th or 8th round. So if you wasted that draft capital on him, do not cut him just yet. I mean, just hold on to him and pray something happens. After week 4, I tell everybody, after week 4, if you've given up on a guy, give up on him. You know what I mean? But don't cut people before week 4. You know what I mean? Unless they're like somebody you took in the 14th, 15th round, you know what I mean? Just to, you know, take a real dark throw on. Those are the guys you cut. You don't cut 7th and 8th round players. I don't care how terrible they are. You know what I mean? Hold on to them for a couple of weeks and see if they do something, because you wasted that draft capital on them.
All right. So let's kind of try to speed it up a little bit here, fellas.
Let's just read off our wide receivers and then we'll just talk about them. Let's do that.
All right, so I'll go first with mine. I have Sammy Watkins as my number 3 receiver. I have Adam Thielen as my number 6 receiver. I do think that Kirk Cousins is going to have to throw a lot more in this game. So I think, you know, Thielen's going to eat in this game. I think, you know, I am on the verge of admitting a wrong and saying that, you know, Diggs was going to be better than Thielen, because Thielen looked much better, just got open more. I mean, 10 pass attempts doesn't really say a lot, but Thielen did get the touchdown. And Sammy Watkins against this Raiders team that just lost Gary and Conley. Jonathan Abram is, you know, he's going to be out. Like, their secondary is just already injured. So I could see Sammy Watkins having a big day.
Definitely. My two guys are Odell and Brandon Cooks. So for me, Odell is my number 2 wide receiver on the week. The Jets could not stop John Brown at all, period. John Brown did whatever he wanted to the Jets. And for me, if John Brown, if Odell's going to get that kind of coverage, if Freddie Kitchens has any kind of coaching ability, he's going to see how much John Brown was getting open, and the patterns that he was running were basically the exact same routes that Odell runs, but better. Odell is going to get pelted with targets in this game and should be very good. Brandon Cook is my number 11, I think. No, my number 10 running wide receiver for the week. Brandon Cooks, for me, I believe in the narrative of going home and playing your ex-team. You know what I mean? I think he was not happy the way he got shipped out of the Saints. And, you know, I think he could have a very big game. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. And I think Brandon Cooks is going to demand the ball a lot in this game. So I could definitely see him going over 100 in a touchdown pretty easily in this game, actually. I think he probably has, you know, 5 or 6 catches for, you know, over 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, my two guys are actually both guys going up against pretty good defenses. DeAndre Hopkins and Allen Robinson. I know a lot of people are going to be scared off from Hopkins. He's going up against Jalen Ramsey, who, you know, definitely considered one of the top, if not the top, cornerback in the league. But I just don't like – I love Houston's offense. I think they have one of the best offenses in the league. I know their running game was you know, better this past week. I mean, their whole around offense was good, but I still don't see any real threat at the running game. So I think, you know, I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be in my top three, regardless of who he plays. You know, matchups are very important, but he had an incredible week, and I think it carries over. Allen Robinson is a guy that if you listen to our podcast, Steve talked him up, even wrote a little article about him, and he had a great opening game. And I just think that I think he has a really good year. Even though he's playing a Broncos team, there's really not much else on that Bears offense right now relevant. I mean, until Montgomery, who I just spoke of, becomes, you know, the player that I'm hoping he's going to be. It's going to be the Allen Robinson show. Anthony Miller, didn't even exist last Thursday. So, I mean, there's really no one else I can bank on. And Allen Robinson looked awesome, and I think he looks just as good again this week.
Yep, I agree. So let's each give one guy that we are super low on. So my super low guy will be Danny Amendola. I like Danny. I think in this offense he could be heavily targeted, but I don't like this matchup. And I also don't like, you know, I don't think Danny is going to be as relevant as he was last week. You know, I mean, I could definitely see him with like a 4-for-40 game, you know, 4-for-50, you know, so he could still get you, you know, if you were desperate, you know, I mean, it's somebody that I would play, but you know, that game last week didn't prove to me that he is a must start. You know, he's a must own. I definitely think you should pick him up and have him on your team just in case, but he's not a guy that I'm starting. I need to see it. I need to see more. That you know, whatever 49-yard touchdown he had or whatever it was, I think it was 49, really inflated his numbers. So I need to see more than that.
All right. My low guy, and I'm high on Big Ben, but I am low on Dante Moncrief. Called him yesterday. You know, if you've seen the movie Little Giants, Dante Moncrief looked like Hot Hands Haining out there. He's catching. Seriously, he had hands like a frying pan. He was dropping every ball that was thrown to him. And he got a lot. He got 10 targets in the game and only caught 3, I believe, or 4. So, yeah, to me, I think, you know, I've been higher. Me and Dan have been higher on Washington. You know, he caught a couple balls in this game, got the one deep one down the field for like 43 yards. Did get 6 targets in the game. I'm hoping James Washington has a little bit better of a game. I could see Moncrief. You know, Moncrief to me just did not look very good.
Yeah, I'm going to go with guy. I'm low on a lot of guys, but, you know, like sticking with guys that I've spoken before, or we spoke of, and I'm gonna go with Paris Campbell. I just don't. Yeah, I think it could be a different situation with Andrew Luck if he didn't retire, but didn't show anything in week 1. Not saying that, you know, the kid can't moving forward, but really didn't show anything. And you know, basically week 1 when you're a rookie, you want to be able to put your stamp on something, kind of like Hollywood did. I mean, he really put his stamp on it, but yeah, just didn't show anything for me. And I just think he's got a tough matchup. You know, I think this Titans team is legit, and you know, I think that the Colts are in for a long day. You know, the Titans defense is definitely legit. We'll see what their offense can do, you know, as far as carrying over from their production last week. But yeah, so I mean, Paris Campbell for me is going to be a guy that has to prove it. Otherwise, he's not very fantasy relevant right now.
All right, so let's go on to the tight ends. Talk about a tight end, Dan, that you are higher on.
I'm going to go with the guy that everyone's kind of high on, but he kind of is moving up the rankings for me. You know, I have him ahead of Zach Ertz, surprisingly. I mean, I'm not low on Zach Ertz, but you can't really talk about tight ends without talking about Evan Engram. Absolute monster week 1. And I think this kid is – I think he's got the ability to be, you know, a number 2 in this league, maybe behind Travis Kelce. He's so good, and there's really nothing. I mean, even with the Sterling Shepard injury right now, you know, Saquon can't do everything, and it just seems like that Evan Engram regardless if they, you know, what they're going to do to defend him. You know, the Bills have a really good defense, but he finds a ways to get open. I mean, when we watch that game against Dallas, he finds areas, he finds corners. He's just a great route runner for being a tight end, and he was superb. And I think that you know, he's one of the shining stars on a really rough Giants team.
Yeah. I'll throw mine out there. I am high. I think Darren Waller has a chance to really have a good week this week. I think they're going to be playing from behind. They're going to have to play a lot of catch up. And, you know, if Derek Carr looks to him the way he did in week one, Darren Waller could have a good game. So Darren Waller is a guy that I have at number 8, you know, cracking the top 10 this week.
Yeah. So my guy is going to be, who'd you say, Waller, Kev?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I just got some sad news. A friend of mine from work passed.
Ooh.
Sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Sorry.
Rest in peace to his family. My guy is going to be, let's see here. Who did I put down? I have, we talked about Ingram. I have TJ Hockenson at 5. I think TJ Hockenson is the real deal. Going up against the Chargers, he is an animal. We told you guys about the tight end position. What makes a great tight end great is a guy who can run routes, get open, and pass block. And if you watched that game the other day, I specifically watched that game just because I wanted to see TJ, what he was doing. And this dude is just unbelievable. He separates like Evan Ingram separates. He really does. He finds ways to get open, and when he's open, he's really open. So it's not like he's like, you know, beating a guy and he's, you know, having to jump over a guy to steal the ball. On the touchdown, he had to do that, but that's because, you know, he just stood in the back of the end zone and waited for the ball to come. But on his passing routes, he was like wide open. You know,
great run after the catch too. He took a lot of those little 10-15 yard slants for 25-30. Great run after the catch, you know, tight end.
Yeah, he's great. I love the kid. I think he's going to be good for a very long time. And against this Chargers defense, I think he is going to eat again, especially he's going to be home. You know, I just think that this is going to be an every week thing. I don't, you know, obviously he's not going to be 100 and a touchdown every single week. But he is definitely going to be a guy that is heavily used in this offense, and he laid some wood this week. If you watch, I want to say it's in the third quarter. It was a running play. C.J. Anderson ran up left tackle, and he just crushed the linebacker trying to get in to hit C.J. It was beautiful to watch. But, yeah, the dude is just – he is a really good player, just really, really talented, and a guy that – you know, if you got off of waivers, he was 30% owned after this weekend. He's probably now owned in 95% of leagues. It just his ownership rating just went up, I think, higher than anyone else's in fantasy football this weekend. And, you know, guy that's going to be good for a long time. So do we have any guys that you guys are low on? I think I have.
I'm lower on O.J. Howard. I have him at 7, so it's not like I'm completely down on him, but I just did not like what I saw from Jameis. And to me, he was very, very inconsistent in this game. You know, his first half was terrible. He caused one of Jameis' interceptions on a ball he should have caught that popped up in the air. And then he had the fumble in the red zone. So, you know, this Bucs offense has me really down after week one.
Yeah, you guys both have Greg Olsen 12 and 13. I got him at 21, even, you know, before all the, you know, speculation about whether he's going to play or not. I'm over the Greg Olsen days. I just think there's so much more talent out there. You know, I mean, he's got, for me, he's a back end 20s type guy, just because he can't stay healthy. And even when he does stay healthy, I don't think he produces anywhere close to what he does. I mean, he'll give you an okay, slightly above average game one out of every five he's out there. So for me, I think this Panthers team that seems like they have really good young running backs, or I'm sorry, really good young receivers. Obviously they have a good young running back, one of the best running backs in the league. I think they need to start, moving on from the Greg Olsen days.
Yeah. So my guy is going to be Jimmy Graham. I have him at 13. I know I've seen him in a lot of rankings, you know, in the top 12, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 I've seen him. To me, Jimmy's best days are behind him. He looked insanely slow last week. If you watched him on the catch and runs, he, you know, he's never been a fast guy, but he looked real slow. You know, he was a jump ball touchdown. That's kind of Jimmy's forte at this point in his career, you know, jump balls and beating guys. So against this Vikings defense, who last year was one of the best defenses against tight ends, and this year, once again, showed last week that, you know, they gave up. Austin Hooper basically in the second half was, you know, was where he got most of his stats. I mean, because in the first half, he wouldn't really do anything. You know, so they were just crazy behind in the second half and just throwing, and Hooper caught a bunch of balls. But, you know, this Vikings defense is pretty stingy against tight ends, and Jimmy Graham is not a guy that I think is going to highly benefit going up against this defense. So Jimmy Graham is not a guy that I would be starting if I didn't have to.
All right. So there you have it, guys. It's the podcast for today. Remember, don't forget to check us out on our website, www.4thandinchesff.com. That is www.4thandinchesff.com for a bunch of content, articles, blogs, player profiles, and our VIP access. And until next time, peace out, guys.
Peace.
Later, everybody.